This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 226 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm absolutely okay.
Right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good to hear. So what's been going on in your world in the last week?
Oh, yeah. The last week? Let's see. Next question.
Right.
I'm not sure anything actually has. Had an awesome natural light portrait workshop on Saturday.
Cool.
Because I had the lovely character face of my mate Pete to shoot again, which was joyful fun.
I saw those. He's got a great face.
He's got a hell of a head, isn't he? He's He's a head only a camera could love.
Oh, that's harsh.
So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But the rest has just been nothing.
Right.
Nothing. I've done nothing. I had a lovely dinner with some friends. Better mention that in case they listen. by nothing, I mean that was something, but everything else. No, not a lot. Yeah, looking after the family. We had a long weekend down here in Australia, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For the head of our country, the Queen. It was her birthday. Well, it's not really her birthday, but I could just call it that, which is even weirder.
Yeah.
I think it's just since there wasn't a public holiday in June, I think that was that's a good enough reason to call it that. And took some nice trips out with the family. Took my daughters up to a little botanical gardens and had them run around throwing leaves in the air and took photos of them, and that was a good bit of fun.
Cool.
Just playing around with the Tamron 18 to 270 because I was too lazy to carry anything bigger. And 18 to 270 on a crop body. Wow. So it's like 28 to 400 or something like that.
Wow.
You know? And which is, you know, when you've got a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old running around, that's almost big enough.
Yeah, almost covers the needed range.
Exactly. Yeah. There's not quite the 3mm lens you need for when they get right up in your face.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's not quite the 1200mm lens when they're bolting off in the distance. But other than that, it was perfect. Yeah. You know, and I hadn't really meant to talk about this too much, but since we've got bugger all else to talk about, we may as well.
Yeah.
It's just how many people just dismiss lenses like that sometimes. You know, people get a bit snobby at a certain level in photography where only a certain type of gear or a certain brand name is acceptable to them. And I shot off 40 or 50 shots of the kids on Sunday, and they're all great. Yeah, they're sharp as a tack. There's got nice out of focus stuff going on. Great lens compression when you got the zoom in that big. Focus nice and fast. You know, for the price, it was a damn good lens. You know.
Now, I will admit, I probably sometimes fall into the aforementioned category.
Oh, me too.
Not so much about brand, but about having that much range within one lens. Is there a penalty to be paid by trying to squeeze that much focal range into one lens?
Oh, I'm sure there is, but you can always ask yourself, is it acceptable compromise?
Yeah,
you know, and especially, you know, I'm always asked the eternal question: if you'd only take one lens with you, what would it be? You know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going traveling, you can only take one thing. Well, it's a pretty versatile range. You know?
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
And you got to say that, you don't have your 2.8 apertures, and maybe it's not as sharp, but they look pretty darn good. You know, and so for sheer versatility, it was excellent. So it was a last minute decision to throw it in the bag, because I was going to carry just a 70 to 200.
Yeah.
And then I thought, nah, because they're kids, they'll just get too close. So I said, I'll change cameras and I'll change lenses and I'll just take the one. And it was fantastic.
So what's the aperture range on it? I'm assuming it's not a constant.
Like 3.6 to 6.3, something like that.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're shooting 400mm 6.3, it's just not too bad.
It's still going to be pretty smooth, yeah.
It's pretty good, yeah. And, that great lens compression. I had the kids running down this pathway with overhanging trees and little, street lamps sort of lit up, and her running off playing with each other, looking over the shoulders back of the camera. Beautiful lens compression, beautiful blur. Everything looks good. Yeah, for a sub $600 lens.
It's pretty darn good.
Yeah. So I said, we do tend to get sometimes, yeah, a little snobbish. And I said, I'm, yeah, equally to blame. I'm sure I do that all the time as well. But yeah, it was a pleasant thing to put that lens on and have a play with that again on the weekend. It has, because it hasn't been out of the bag for a while. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, rather re-impressed with it. Because I remember I used to like it a long time ago, you know. But see, I mean, I get given all of Tamron's lenses, so I get to play with all of them.
Yep.
You tend to stick to your favourites, like your 90mm macro, you know, for your portraits. And because I'm mostly shooting portraits, yeah, you kind of you've got a fixed agenda. But when you've just got kids running around, perfect.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No worry about having the wrong lens on. Which is usually the case whenever anytime else I'm shooting. as the old saying goes, it doesn't matter which lens you have on, it's the wrong one.
Yeah, but, shooting kids, it's pretty much like shooting sport, really.
Yeah. You've got all this stuff going on, and but I was very pleased, very very pleased with the results from it, and yeah, but I'm biased because there's two incredibly gorgeous kids in it, you know, which sort of
of course.
Maybe slightly biased, you know. Fortunately, they take after the missus, so they're quite good looking. I have to say that in case she's listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we've had a question come in on Facebook.
Did we?
From Michael Morley. He said, "Hey guys, love the show. I was reading an article recently."
He's so full of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Look, they don't have to give compliments, and we'll still answer the question, you know. they don't have to lie to us.
It's just if they don't give us compliments, we'll give them the wrong answer, right?
That's exactly leading us astray.
This might be right up your alley, actually, mate, because you shoot Canon. I was reading an article recently about ISO noise on Canon cameras. The article went on to say that it was optimal to shoot at ISOs divisible by 160 because the camera's noise levels were lowest. The noise levels are appreciably lower at the corresponding ISOs of 160, 320, 640, 1250, 1600 and 2500. As a result of reading this, I've been trying out an ISO of 160 instead of my usual 100 where appropriate. Have you also heard of this? He didn't say whether or not he found shooting at 160 to be better than 100 or not. But
say, what's his bloody result? Ask him. He's bound to be online. What a woeful question to come out. Well, I've tried it, but I'm not going to tell you what I found. Yeah. Here's the weird thing. I have heard about this, but more in a video context than a shooting context, than a still photo context. That for whatever reason, however, yeah, let's face it, it's faux ISO anyway, isn't it? It's not real ISO.
Of course.
It's just a logarithm or whatever, sort of formula
they use. It's a mathematical calculation.
Yeah. And from what I've been led to believe in the video side of things, that it is indeed smoother and less noticeable, as he says, in divisible by 160.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is look, and I'm not sure if this is the same with other brands, but once again, I heard it through a Canon person, so definitely agree.
So does that mean that when Canon have engineered their image processor, that its native ISO, if you like, is 160, and that everything else is calculated from that starting point? Is that the reason?
You know, I don't know if it's even a deliberate thing, or whether it's just a byproduct of the system.
Right.
I don't know if it's actually something, because I'm quite sure if they were really determined that 160 was so much better, they would emphasize it.
Well,
they would always default to their best. Like Nikon, a lot of Nikon cameras used to not be able to shoot. Well, the ISO would only go down to 200, then it'd go down to low and so on.
Yeah.
Because they preferred not to shoot below 200 as far as for dynamic range and so on. Nikon deliberately limited what their camera could do. And I'm sure if Canon found that 160 and 320, et cetera, were far better than their 100, 200, 400, they'd be out there spruiking it pretty full on.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's not true. It's just I don't know whether it's a deliberate thing, whether it's something that they targeted from day one, or whether it's just a byproduct of the way their system works.
Mm.
I mean, but I've heard it enough to believe it.
Right, yeah, and I've read a similar technical page regarding the Alpha 850 saying that its best performance is at 200 ISO, even though it goes down to 100 ISO.
Hmm.
The performance at 100 ISO is, you know, on paper, supposedly not as great as its performance at 200.
Technically it's not, but yeah, visually, yeah. I don't know, but technically.
Yeah.
But visually, I don't know. But technically.
Yeah.
But visually, I don't know. You know? And I'm a visual kind of guy. I'm not into the technical stuff at all. You know? It's,
yep.
I don't know how to use my TV remote control properly. I'm not a technical guy. I love gadgets, but I can't do technology. You know what I mean?
What are you from? You're from my parents' generation or something.
Well, let's put it this way. Many years ago, I don't know, 10 years ago, I was given a $350 Panasonic home telephone system. It was, and those, right. $350 for a telephone, those are a lot of money. And it had every possible feature and gadget on the thing you could imagine. It was just swarming with buttons. And
okay.
I brought it home and, oh, look at this. I've got this free thing. And my wife looked at it and she goes, well, until you can learn how it all works, you can't buy any more gadgets. It went on eBay the next week.
Right.
Didn't even try. Didn't even take it out of the box because I just knew. Yeah.
Quit while you're ahead.
You know, I'm a sensitive, delicate, tender guy. No, that's not true. no one's going to believe that. But I'm more emotive. I do tend to feel, especially around something like imaging, like photography. I just don't care so much about the technical. I don't care so much about the box as I do the thing I'm shooting and how I can represent it and so on. You know, and if it looks okay to me, I'm happy with it.
Fair enough.
Could it have been 10% less noise using a different setting? Well, you know, probably not going to care that much.
Michael's just come back to us and said, I can't really see a difference, but I did give it a try.
So piss off, Michael. Shut up. Why ask the question? No, it's a great look. I've got to tell you, of all the silly questions we've had on our Facebook page, because we've had a few, the Adam Davidson springs to mind especially. No, that is certainly one of the best questions that's been popped out there. So good on you, Michael, for playing around that sort of stuff. And as you said, you might not see a difference in photo, but so I heard all this through video side of things when I was trying to learn a little bit about how DSLR video worked, and they were very much onto it.
Right.
Know, they were very, very adamant that this is the better way to shoot.
Mm.
So maybe it's more noticeable on a high def TV with motion. Who knows? You know, more so than a still photo.
I guess, I don't know, I was going to say, because video, you're only shooting 1920 by 1080, but then I know that that's in error. I made that comment a few weeks ago and then realised at the time that I was writing up the show notes for that episode that the raw video that Magic Lantern were able to pull off a 5D Mark II, 5.2 or 5.3?
5.3, I
can't
remember. I think it was.
Yeah. Wasn't limited to full HD. It was like almost 6K footage or something. It was like 3,000 by 2,000 pixels or something. So it's massive resolution. So, yeah, I don't know. Don't know. Very interesting.
I don't know. But, you know, is it just one of those things that some technical people picked up on and ran with, and because they said it was so, it became what those types of people do. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
But to me, you know, If you like the way you're shooting at 400 and you're happy with the way it looks, yeah, stick to 400. If you like 200, whatever, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's a creative art and therefore it's subjective and, you know, there's no right or wrong with any of it.
Yeah, except everything I say. That's right.
Of course.
other than that, though. Somebody said the other day when I was up that's easy for me to say, wasn't it? When I was up doing my speeches, my talks at the Vivid Festival.
Yeah.
Me and the organisers, isn't the sound guys and the guy in the door letting people in with their tickets and stuff. Yeah, we'd sort of critique speakers as they were going along.
Okay.
Over the course of the weekend, having a bit of a laugh, a bit of fun, and. And so when it came to be my turn, I said to the guys, I want brutal honesty, guys. You know, we've been fairly brutal all the weekend. I want nothing but the worst. So I went up there and did my bit. I came back and they looked at me and they said, "Well, you're the best of the bunch, but about the only thing we can come up with is you're really narcissistic." Said, yeah, and your point is that's the worst I can come up with. No, funny.
Well, speaking of narcissism,
I'm narcissistic, and so am I.
It's probably the perfect opportunity to mention it because Glyn is far too polite to bring this up himself.
Oh, no, I've got it at number four.
But Ellen Crom are doing a couple of free lighting masterclasses in Australia. One is in Sydney on the 10th of July, and the other one is in Melbourne on the 17th of July.
And, are you sure?
Well, the dates, I'm just going by the dates that are on the webpage.
Okay, cool.
So I'm assuming they're right.
I'll go with what they say. Yeah. I know I'm doing it. It's not necessary. So I've got down. If I look at the headline of their thing, it says Sydney and Melbourne 9th and 16th. On the I thought it was the 16th.
That's a good
and
point.
And then it says they're on the 17th.
Day of the week is it?
Oh, I don't know. No, look, okay, no. If you actually, you say the Facebook page says 9 and 16, but when you open up, it's 9 and 17. So
you know what? That'll be Facebook and their stupid server misinterpreting times and days for anything in the Southern Hemisphere.
They got the first one right, but not the second one, because it's 9 and 17, and it's got 9 and 16. It's a typo.
Right. So
But anyway, wax lyrical again. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, so anyway, so for those who are interested, these masterclasses are free, so they won't cost you anything to go along. The Sydney masterclass is being conducted by Daniel Linnett, I'm not sure how he pronounces his surname. And the Melbourne event is being hosted by none other than our fearless co-host, Glyn Lavender.
Yep, that'd be me.
That'd be him. So
no more pressure than to say, well, the owner of the company of Ellen Crom is going to be up there talking about his 5,000 years of experience running the company and knowing everything inside and out.
The website said 50 years, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
I'm sure it's felt like 5,000 sometimes. And I'm going to go on stage after him and shoot tethered to an audience of like 100 or so people. And there's like the head of the man himself. It's kind of a bit daunting, I've got to say,
Geez, you better brush up on your algorithm, mate. Guide number equals.
So
you dial it in perfectly from the first frame.
But half the stuff I've never used any of the actual lights. They're new and they haven't arrived yet, so I haven't got them yet.
They will get you one to play with before the night, though, won't they?
I'm certainly hoping so. And we're going to be doing a lot using their new iPhone app to control the gear, which I've never done either. So we're trying almost untried technology in front of the owner of the company and 100 keen photographers. And we're shooting tethered. And what can go wrong?
Now, did you say Monday night?
I don't know. It's the 17th.
So the 10th and the 17th are Monday nights. So
it'll be a Monday night then,
So
it's going to be awesome.
For anyone who is interested, I will put the dates in the show notes, and I'll put a link to the KL Australia page because it's KL who are organising it. So the Sydney one is at.
I'm sponsored by the lovely people at Ellen Crom. That's why I'm doing it for them. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it's time to pay the piper. We've given you all this free gear. Now it's your turn to pay up.
That's right. So,
Sydney one's at the North Ride RSL.
That's right.
And the Melbourne one's at Dallas Brooks Centre.
Mm-hmm. And both events will be kicking off at 6 p.m. So I shall. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be in the country when the Sydney one is on.
No. Fortunately, you're going to be somewhere awesome.
Well, that's exactly right. I will be in Borneo. So,
given the choice, I'd rather be in Borneo.
But I would have liked to have gone along nonetheless. It would have been good to go. But anyway,
So it's going to be a fun evening. So if there's any Melbourne photographers and listeners who want to come along and heckle, feel free to do so. And but I think there's going to be like over 100 people there. So there's plenty. There'll be tickets going up on their website soon, I think, to you've got to register to come along. And I'd love to see you there. Come and say g'day if you're in the area.
Yeah,
and it should be a bit of fun. We'll take some photos of some models and play around with them. And looking forward to using this new iPhone connector to power up and power down lights and stuff. It's going to be kind of interesting.
Interesting.
I'd just like to hopefully get it, you know, more than a day before the stuff arrives, you know.
Yeah. So how are they doing that? Like, you've got an app, but the app is going to what? They've got some sort of controller that has a Wi-Fi receiver in it that can receive instructions wirelessly, or... Because there are no connectors
on an
iPad.
You know what that'd be, don't you? That'd be one of those technical things, you know.
That you're not interested in, right?
As long as I can turn on the app and say, yeah, brighter/darker, or both, depending on which one it is.
Right.
I'm happy.
Fair enough.
So, I don't know. I haven't even downloaded the app yet, so that's how far into it I am.
Right.
Yeah, but that's weeks away. You don't have to worry about stuff like that until, you know, the day before.
Yeah. And you haven't received the gear yet. Then you start worrying.
Exactly, the gear yet. So I'll worry about it. I'm going off to Queensland this weekend, and I'll worry about all that when I get back and myself organized. So, yeah, I'm heading up to the awesome town of, I think the locals call it Bilo.
Billowheeler.
That's Billowheeler, is that he said, isn't it? Okay.
Yep.
Billowheeler, that's where I'm heading to.
Oh. And, that's not a big town.
No, population 5,800, and it's the admin centre for the Banana Shire.
Right.
According to our friends at Wikipedia.
I needed to know that.
That's what I thought too, you know. And, it's going to be an interesting couple of days meeting. So I've got 10 people each. So I've got like, you know, half the population attending the workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be having some fun.
Awesome.
I think we're shooting in an old butter factory.
Oh, nice.
Which would be fun. Yeah, it sounds like a kind of a cool. And the woman who's coordinated it all to get up there, she owns a ballet dance studio.
Oh, wow.
So she's got access to all these, you know, young, strong, fit, flexible, for posing, models for me, which would be fantastic. So we should do good.
Awesome. So is that a natural light?
Natural light and flash. Yeah.
Right. Cool.
Yeah. Natural light on the Saturday, flash on the Sunday, finish the flash workshop, get in the car, start driving as fast as possible, and get to the airport to fly home. Because I've got to drive from
Billowheeler.
That's a Billowheeler to Rockhampton and fly out. So.
Right. Now, I'm trying to remember how far that would be.
I think it's 3 hours in a normal car, 2 hours in a hire car.
Right. Excellent.
In first gear.
Excellent. Excellent.
I've got the next best thing to a real four-wheel drive. I've got a hire car. So yesterday, I must say, before I got the call, for those listeners out there who didn't know why we didn't record yesterday, not that it makes a difference to any, my daughter was sick yesterday and into the evening, my little two-year-old. So, but before I got the call to pick her up from her childcare, I did pop out to Fuji and pick up my new X-Pro 1.
Oh, have you played with it yet?
Well, I got to tell you, it's... one of those incredibly frustrating things. You pick up the gear, you get home, you open up the box, you put the memory card in, the childcare centre calls, says, kid's sick, come and get her.
Oh, no.
And from that moment till now, you know, 20 or 30 hours or so later, nothing. I even took my daughter for a three-hour drive today because she was sick and home with me, so she's good for 3 hours. She didn't fall asleep in the car for a couple of hours because she's still a bit delicate, didn't sleep much last night. And so I thought, well, somewhere in that 3 hours, I'll find something to shoot. I drove through some awesome countryside, but it poured with rain the entire time.
Oh, no.
So it's going with me to Bilo.
Billowheeler.
Billowheeler. There we are. I should write that down phonetically. There we go. Billow. It's like pillow. Billowheeler. There we go. I'll remember that now. So I'll take it with me up there and hopefully get some good shots. But I'm told it's ISO performance is exceptionally good.
Yeah, right.
So across its entire ISO range, which for theoretically a compact camera, that's great news. You know, But I've got to do. I must say, I have spun the dials, and it's. I think the only way to describe it really would be sex on a stick. it is a seriously cool piece of kit, and the only kind of freaky thing is it's hybrid viewfinder.
Oh yeah,
and the rangefinder viewfinder. Because when you start to bring it up to your eye, you're looking through at the viewfinder itself, its view of the world, which is, of course, irrelevant to what lens you have on, etc., etc.
Right.
But it's only when it gets to your eye, and then just a second later, it clicks over to an electronic viewfinder where you can see the feed through the lens. And that's just kind of freaky to have that change of your world happen like that. But it does make life a lot easier for shooting, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
So I've got that. I've got the 18mm lens and a 60mm lens. So 60 for portraits and nice. 18 for
landscape.
For some landscape stuff. Yeah, and we should do well.
So are they both prime?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Fixed prime lenses.
Right.
There's a big thank you to the lovely people at Fujifilm. I'm sure I have to repay a debt down the track somewhere. So I might be on Crom people. At some stage, it's going to have to get up here.
Yeah.
What can I do for you? But it's a seriously cool piece of kit.
Excellent. Oh, I'll look forward to seeing some images out of it when you've had a chance to get out and use it in anger.
Yeah, well, this weekend, I'm sure I should get some shooting opportunities, and looking forward to it myself. Cool. I've used one before. I used one, I went up to, funny enough, another small Queensland town. I took one up there to Claremont.
Okay.
Which is a couple of hours or so out of Mackay up in Queensland. I took one up there and they did some portraits with that, and sharp as a nun's tongue.
Right.
Amazing details. So, but I only literally had a chance to do like half a dozen photos on that trip. So this one, hopefully put it through his paces a bit. I'm hoping for some clear skies. I might do some bit of long time exposure stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Cool.
But who knows? We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Now, Stephen Frost has asked on Facebook, are there any early reviews of Lightroom 5? Do you use Lightroom?
I do use Lightroom. I just haven't done 5 yet.
Right. I got my upgrade last night.
Oh, yes.
So I spent all of last night upgrading my catalogues, because your catalogues are in version 4 format, so you then when you go to open them in 5, it immediately says this is an old format of the catalog, we need to upgrade them. So that's a slow process. If I had one wish, it is that Adobe would introduce into each version of Lightroom a menu option which would basically allow you to the way I kind of imagine it in my mind is that it would give you an option, on the file menu, upgrade multiple catalogs, dot, 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 and then open up some sort of task
that
list
sense.
Where you could then go and say, okay, I've got a catalog living in this folder, I've got another catalog living in that folder, because that's the way I work. I have different catalogs for different projects. And the catalog file lives within the folder for that catalog. So ideally, you'd want to be able to go and just point it to all of your catalogs, or maybe they all live in one master folder. So maybe you should be able to say, update all catalogs that live inside this master folder to the new format, so that I could then just, set it going last thing at night and go to bed and not have to sit there and wait, while it chugs away for half an hour on one catalog, just so that I can then go to the next catalog and open it up and then go, yes, upgrade this one, and then sit there for another half an hour. That's my only criticism so far, is I wish they would, introduce some way that you could just tell it, migrate all of my catalogs to the new version.
Yeah. So I guess that's as far as you've got to so far.
Pretty much, yes. I haven't had a chance to really, get into it and, develop in anger, as it were. So, but I'm looking forward to it. The new vertical perspective correction that they've introduced in it looks pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to having a play with that. Obviously, when you're shooting with a wide-angle lens, particularly with architecture, you get your collapsing verticals. Well, they've introduced a sort of an automated function that will automatically analyze your image and work out what degree of perspective correction it needs to apply to straighten your verticals for you, which looks pretty funky. So.
Exactly. That'd be a great time saver, I'm sure, when totally. It works. Now, I've heard some reviews that it does get confused from time to time. So there is that little aspect of it. Doesn't always do the, it's like anything. It's like when you're using the cloning tool. It doesn't always do exactly what you're expecting.
Exactly.
But it's a lot faster than it used to be having to do it manually. So you'll do some stuff really, really well. Some things you're just going to go back to the old way and have no choice.
Yep. Yeah. While we're on the subject of new things coming out, I'm not a Mac guy, but you are. What are your thoughts on the new Mac Pro?
Haven't seen it.
Oh, really?
I don't hate it. It's a gadget. It's
that's in that technical field again, isn't it? Oh, dear.
What was? I did see some mention of a new iOS system. Yeah, I'm not sure. iOS.
iOS 7.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that actually is. It's just like a bus stop or something. No, I know it's a operating system. Yeah, I got that much. All I saw was the icons look kind of wacky. And I was like, that's a bit, you kind of like what you like. You know, you used to do a certain thing and then they take it away from you. And it's like, I struggle. Yeah, you don't have an iPhone, but, I've been struggling for a long, long time when they changed the music icon on my iPhone. It's not as nice as it used to be. And that new one's going to be even different again.
Oh dear.
It's the little things, Bruce. It's just the little things that get to me. I know what I like, and I know what I don't like. Did you hear what was particularly special about the new MacBooks? Anything out of the ordinary?
Well, it's not a MacBook, it's a Mac Pro.
Mac Pro, yeah, MacBook Pro.
MacBook. It's not a MacBook. It's not a laptop.
Oh, you mean the full jobby.
Yeah.
No.
So you haven't seen the pictures of it?
Nah.
Oh, dude. I'm not an Apple fan, but this is interesting stuff.
Why?
Right? This thing looks like a vacuum cleaner. It looks like a Dyson vacuum cleaner. It's circular.
Does it do more than just do the?
I don't know. Maybe it sucks. I don't know. It's like a cylinder, and it's like black, polished black casing round 270 degrees, and then the back section of it is flat and has all the connectors on it. And this thing is like the size of a small office garbage can. Like, it's really small. And what they've done is they've essentially built a massive heatsink, which is triangular in shape, and then attached everything to that heatsink. So all of the components are in a triangular formation around this triangular-shaped heatsink. And then the case goes over the outside, and you've got all your connectors on the outside. And, the dude who did the keynote was rabbiting on about, the processor that's in it and the RAM that's in it and the flash memory that's in it and blah, 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 blah. And it all sounded wonderful, but not being a Mac aficionado, I'm not really in a position to say whether it's better or worse than what there was before. But it certainly seems that all the Mac people are up in arms and loving the idea and, ready to pray to the Adobe gods again. So, it was interesting. Yeah.
The Apple gods, not the Adobe gods.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Yes.
Yes, yeah. They're different gods again.
Different gods again, yes. If nothing else, I will give Apple kudos for coming up with a unique look. It's not another beige box, and I mean, Adobe have always, what is it with Adobe? Apple have always, tried to maintain that is them. They don't release beige boxes. Yeah. But even the previous...
No, they released silver ones.
That's right. The previous Mac Pro was a silver box with handles on top. So I give them, points for the creative design, if nothing else. It'll be interesting to see how it takes off.
Yeah, I'm not much of a desktop type of person. I'm far too lazy. I'd rather just sort of land the couch with my laptop and do all my editing there. You know, that little trackpad, because it's so accurate. Yeah. That trackpad's just so, you know, your thumb and forefinger on that trackpad, that is just so precise, you know. It just, it's near enough, it'll look. I do have a different approach to photography than most people. I should tell you that.
and to post-processing, by the sounds of things.
And to life in general. Yeah, to life in general. Speaking of absolutely nothing related to what you were just speaking about, I did come across an interesting thing for Melbourne photographers this week.
Okay.
And it's a there's a website called Possible, which is supposed to sound like possible, but it's with a Z rather than two S's, which is basically a crowdsourcing site. Right. And
is it .com or .com.au?
Just .com, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy in there called James McArdle,
right,
who's got a he wants to get crowdsource funding for a thing called Retake Melbourne. And basically what it is, he wants to build an app which has all these classic photographs of Melbourne taken, I think mostly by one iconic Melbourne photographer, but also if it was me, I'd try and, you know, get as many Melbourne images as possible. And basically what it is your goal is to go walk around Melbourne with and find these same locations, line up on your iPhone or whatever device you're using, the exact image so you can see it, and then capture it again with a modern take.
Right.
So the modern look of what, you know, so this is what it was like 50 years ago, this is what it's like now, sort of thing. So it's called Retake Melbourne.
Yeah, interesting.
And I got to, yeah, I think it's got some interesting, yeah, little connotations. It'd be great to walk in the footsteps of a past master and see the world as they did, and the angles and the viewpoints, and then to see the, yeah, you know, the juxtaposition of how the world's changed so much in that time.
Mm.
So we'll put the links, because it's a crowdsourcing thing. It's about 10 days to go. So by the time that this goes out, there'll be, you know, 4 or 5 days to go. So if people want to get behind it and support it or learn more about it.
So he's just seeking funding to get the app made?
To have the app made, yeah.
Right, yep. Okay.
And he's been in some papers, but it's all done. And most of the images they're going to be using are going to be accessed via the State Library of Victoria.
Okay.
So they're going to the State Library of Victoria, and looks like they're pulling out 5,000 images from half-century-old negatives and colour transparencies.
Wow.
And go through and select particular ones and then build it, and it's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, for people who like these projects like 365s and stuff like that, I think that's another thing you could get into. It'll force you to go out and see the world through someone else's eyes, for starters.
Yeah.
And yeah, you get to go out and yeah, be part of something, which would be kind of fun. So he wants, I think, $6,000 in funding. He's up to about $2,000 so far. So
right,
we're not sure how it'll go, but worthy of having a look at.
Stephen Frost has just commented.
Is he still going on?
He is. He said he's just downloaded Lightroom 5. From what I've read from a few forums, it's quicker, has a Nik style circular adjustment filter, and also has some alignment tools to get horizons even, etc. Sort of along the lines of what I was talking about the vertical correction and so on. I'll have a play on the weekend and look forward to a future chat by you guys on the podcast sometime. Let's not get started on the US-Australian pricing differential. What's the point? it's interesting you brought that up, because I did notice that the price of the upgrade in the US was $79. The price of the upgrade here was $99. So, yeah.
Yeah, but remember, $79 is ex-tax, for starters, in the US, where $99 here is inclusive of tax. So you've got 10% difference there straight away.
Right.
Okay, so that's a, you
know. I didn't think there was GST on that.
On software?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain. Hang on, let me go and look in my email for the tax invoice, because I'm pretty sure that was not included. Yeah, it's ex-GST. $99 ex-GST. And it's because they are not an Australian company. It's an imported product, and therefore there's no goods and services tax on it.
See, once again there, that Australia's been ripped off and losing out money for our schools and hospitals.
Exactly.
Serious? That's, is it not true?
Yeah.
So this company doesn't pay tax anywhere?
Probably not.
And therefore, you know, there's, yes, it is a rip-off. They charge $20 too much.
Mm-hmm.
Disgraceful. There was a dollar difference at the moment. I don't know. There's no other excuses there. But yeah, I would rather see that $99 be inclusive of GST.
Right.
I think they should be forced if there's a way somehow. If they were to sell that product here, which effectively they are doing.
Yes.
They should be paying tax on it.
Well, they are paying. It is sold here because as an Australian citizen, I have to buy it through adobe.com.au. I can't go to the American store.
So why is there no tax?
I don't know.
And the software doesn't have tax on it, which I don't know. I've never looked, but
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a product, and the product has tax on it.
Yeah. Well, it's a good. It's a good in the sense of a goods or a service.
Well, you haven't tried it yet to see if it's a good. It could just be an okay.
Yeah.
What if it's a really good, do you have to pay like twice the tax?
Yeah.
It's getting silly now.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have anything else on your list that you wanted to discuss?
Well, one little thing. I was reading up on Robert Carper this week. For those not aware, Robert Carper, a famous war photographer. But this is 100 years since his birth this year. So it's his 100th anniversary. So there's lots of stuff going on around the world sort of celebrating his life. But one of the things I came across was yet again another fairly broad debate about whether his most iconic image, the falling soldier, was real or faked. And it's sort of coming up again that it's fake, it was the set-up publicity shot, blah, 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 that he never actually claimed that it was real.
Oh, okay.
He actually never came out and said that it wasn't real. And the first real dispute about its veracity, for its reality, only came out after his death. So he wasn't saying much about it at all after that.
Right. No.
But once again, to the point where some people have they've analysed the hills in the background of this particular shot.
Right.
And geo-mapped it to where it actually was taken. And on the day it was taken, it was some 50 kilometres away from any action.
Right.
Which kind of, to them, made it fairly conclusive proof. And it was fake.
Right.
Which is, I don't know what that does. I mean, people say, if it was fake, does that affect his reputation as a photographer?
It doesn't to me, because as far as I'm concerned, if the image was effective in, getting across whatever message it was that, it was meant to get across, then whether it was staged or photojournalistic, does it really matter?
And
did he try and pass it off as a...
Well, he just passed it off as an image.
Well, there you go.
And remember, in those days, he would have been shipping off hundreds of images in boxes to people with little labels stuck to them and all sorts of stuff. And it's fairly open to interpretation on the other end. The fact that he never really came out whilst he was alive and made comment on it is interesting. But it certainly doesn't take away from all the other incredible, phenomenal images that he caught, like on Omaha Beach and so on. There's some of the stuff that he did capture in the genuine heart of action. Whether that image was real or faked doesn't affect his reputation, because his body of work stands for itself.
Yeah.
Rather than that one image in isolation. It's just sad that one image has become such a powerful icon of war and anti-war symbology.
Yeah.
And then if it comes out that, it was just staged. Yeah. It's tough. Anyway, that was the last little thing on my list of things this week. So we're going to finish up with an early episode this week.
Yeah. I didn't have much to cover. There was something I saw yesterday which was really interesting. I should have grabbed the link for it. I'll see if I can find the link in between now and when I do the show notes. It was a series of photographs from New York City. And they were images that dated from like the late 1800s. And, and showed, streets which, are obviously still there. But, such a time capsule. Yeah, exactly. I'll see if I can find that link and I'll throw that in the show notes.
Being one of my favourite cities in the world, that would be...
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been there, 20 times or something, but it's... Right. it's it's I met my wife just outside of New York. It's always had I lived an hour or so out of New York for a little while, and it's one of my favourite places in the world. Plus, I go there a couple of times a year for workshops, not just out of New York, but go by there and spend a day just wandering around shooting. It's a great city to shoot in.
Yeah, right.
To walk around and shoot is fabulous. So, and the people are like nowhere else.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's. I'd love to see those if you can find the.
Yeah, definitely. I'll dig them out.
The link, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I've got to get to New York at some stage in my life.
Yeah, it's
done LA a few times, but need to get over to the East Coast.
No comparison. Absolutely.
So I hear.
It's astoundingly different. Yeah, the people are different. The look of the people, the way they dress. Well, it's not as warm, so it's part of the reason. But yeah, there are very very different looks, very different attitude, very different. Attitude to life is so totally different, so it's pretty cool. I'm not a big fan of LA. I go there a lot too, but it doesn't really enamour me as a city to want to be in.
Right.
But in New York, I'll live there, I reckon.
Yeah, right.
So.
Cool. Yeah. All right, well, on that note.
Well, I'm off to sunny. Well, apparently it's been raining the whole time for weeks, but it's sunny below Wheeler.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, I was so close. Yeah.
Think Wheeler.
Below Wheeler.
Wheeler, as in 18 Wheeler.
18. Below Wheeler. That's right. When I was in Claremont, the little small. I was calling it Clerton the whole time. I was there,
Nice.
No one noticed that. It's first
you won't be going back there anytime soon.
So I'll be reporting back next week from the adventure.
And excellent.
See what fun I can get myself up into.
Fantastic. All right. Well, you enjoy that.
I will.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.